Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for August 24th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. A quick recap of Saturday's show. I was all by myself on the broadcast, but man, we covered a lot of news. Dr. Scott Atlas, he says the new surge of coronavirus cases is not a reason to panic. The key is the protection of high-risk individuals. He said when we see this focus on more cases, it doesn't really matter how many cases we end up with. It only matters who gets the cases. We know that the infection fatality rate for people under 70 is 0.004%, or let me say this over, 0.04%, 0.04%. He says that's less than or equal to the flu. Now, remember, this is the top Dr. Scott Atlas. And remember in the early days of this virus, you know, guys like me would compare it to the flu, and then the experts would say, oh, you don't know, you're not an expert. You can't compare it to the flu. It's totally different. Now you got Dr. Scott Atlas, credentialed as it gets, literally comparing it to the flu and saying, wait a minute, hey, this is 0.04%. So when we see this focus on more cases, don't worry about it. If you're under 70 years old, the likelihood of you dying from it is very, very, very slim, like the flu. Coronavirus, by the way, is receding in its cases, in its deaths, in its hospitalizations. It's the lowest levels in weeks, folks. Lori Loughlin got 2 months in prison. Her husband got 5 months in prison. They both got fines, $150,000 and $250,000 respectively, or something like that. Again, the good guys are going to prison. The bad guys are all running around free. I'm not saying what Lori did was perfect. I'm just saying comparatively, it's nothing. Furthermore, all the low-level people take the fall every time. But this scandal in college has been going on for decades. Why now? Why these people? Very, very interesting. But it ratchets up the fear now, doesn't it? Did Barack Obama steal his Social Security number? We talked about this in detail. Susan Daniels, a licensed private investigator from Ohio, did the research on it. And Barack Obama is using a fake Social Security number. This has been out since 2009. Why do we bring it up right now, you ask? Because, you know what, Barack Obama has been really quiet, not talking about Trump, just kind of laying low. But now he literally gets on the campaign stage and literally attacks Trump by name. I think I said Biden before. I mean Trump the whole time. Barack's been after Trump, but yet kind of quietly behind the scenes. But now this criminal literally gets on the stage and attacks the president of the United States openly. And this is the guy who we don't know about his birth certificate. Forget it if you're afraid to talk about the birth issue. You're afraid to because they made it so horrible to be a birther. But birther or not, you know what? This birth certificate issue, Joe Arpaio, literally drilled down and researched it till the cows come home, and it's a fraudulent birth certificate. But set that aside for a second. This Barack Obama is the guy that went after President Trump openly, using all the capabilities of the government to attack the opposing candidate. There's enough documentation on that to throw folks away, folks, but nothing's happening. Well, the birth certificate is one issue. You can say birther all you want, but this Social Security number issue happened when Barack Obama was 15 years old. Somehow he was living in Hawaii as a kid, hanging out on the beach, and he got a Connecticut Social Security number. How did that happen? Unlike Obama's birth certificate, whose legitimacy, sad to say, may never be properly certified, Obama is using a Social Security number that was originated in Connecticut. This SSN is a security, is a curiosity, at the least possibly a fraud. What's the deal? How do you get a social security number from Connecticut when you're from Hawaii? Well, you could say, well, Sam, it's just an anomaly. They got some zip codes mixed up and, hey, you got, no. If that happened when he ran for president, when he became a senator, all that would have been discovered and corrected or at least documented. Never done. How come? We don't know where this guy went to college. Oh, supposedly he went to Occidental College, but it's all secret, right? We don't know who his father is. We don't know who his mother is. And this guy's literally getting on the campaign stage and tell you that Donald Trump's a fraudster? All right? I mean, it is amazing to me how this works. For example, in the mainstream press, in Forbes magazine, an article was just released. It says this: Manhattan DA filing suit against, well, they say there might be fraud committed by Trump. They have a filing at the DA in New York there that they say potential fraud against Trump. So we're not going to dig into the birth certificate at all. We're not going to dig into the Social Security number at all. We're not going to worry about where this guy went, meaning Barack Obama went to college at all. We're going to let him stand on the stage and just attack the President of the United States and make allegations of fraud. When it turns out the only ones that were involved with the Russians was Hillary and Barack and crew. They were working on the dossier. How do they get so close to get a fraudulent dossier and then manipulate the FBI into letting that roll for literally years? So let me get this straight. We have to release Donald Trump's IRS records because we got to know the truth. But yet when it comes to Barack Obama, you even talk about it and you're labeled a nutcase, a flat-out nutcase. Never mind the birth certificate, even if you think that's a questionable discussion. What about the Social Security number? Well, that came out in 2009, and for some reason, no one was willing to even talk about it. But I mentioned on Saturday's program, where's the president? President Trump, you were curious about the birth certificate back in the day. Now that you're president, you can actually do something about it? Get to the bottom of it and get us the answers, sir. And if you can't get us the answers as president of the United States, who is above you controlling politics? Who in the deep state has greater control than you, the commander-in-chief of the greatest nation on earth? Why won't you get Barack's birth certificate? Fine, set that aside if you're chicken. What about the Social Security number? If Barack's going to stand on the stage and accuse you of fraud, and Forbes is going to jump in and accuse you of fraud after 3 years of plus investigations to no end, then they're going to literally accuse you of fraud. They're going to say, oh, one of your top aides went to jail over the border wall. And they're going to just literally make up stuff left and right. Oh, you're committing fraud over stopping these mailboxes, and you're this, and you're that. Okay, President Trump, why don't you level some reality checks on Barack Hussein Obama? This guy, we don't know who he is at all. Is his dad really a Kenyan man, or was that a big old lie? Malik Obama wants a DNA test to prove that Barack Obama's not his brother, or settle it once and for all that maybe he is. Or maybe Frank Marshall Davis, the communist agitator, is your father, and you don't want anybody to know that. I don't know the truth. But I know this, though. How do you say we've got to get to the bottom of Donald Trump's IRS information? Because we got to know the truth, by golly. We can't just be, but yet you don't have to know anything about Barack. We don't even have evidence of where this guy really went or did not go to college, do we? And he was president of the United States for 8 long years. And then at the end of that 8 long years, he literally spies on the opposing candidate. And we're not going to talk about that. But Donald's guilty of fraud, says Forbes, or potentially so, according to the district attorney of New York. Folks, we better start to fire back seriously, or it's going to be curtains. For example, Donald Trump says Democrats are stealing the election with vote by mail, and he vows to send out the cops, deploy the police to stop fraud. So everybody's accusing each other of fraud, but nobody's going to jail, and nobody's really getting to the bottom of the real fraud, are they? Because, you know what? Is mail vote by fraud a bigger problem? Where the Democrats say, oh, Donald's doing it because he's trying to clean up the post office. Donald says they're doing it because they're trying to inject vote into the mail system. Is that really a big issue? Or is a bigger issue of Barack Obama faked his birth certificate and is using a fraudulent Social Security number and used the office of president to attack the opposing party back in 16? Which are bigger scandals? See, we're not even going after any of the stuff that matters. Kanye West, believe it or not, tweeted to his millions of followers all the states that he's on on the ballot for the 2020 presidential election race, if you will. He says, look at all the ballots we're on. Oklahoma, Arkansas, Vermont, West Virginia, Colorado, Iowa, Utah, Minnesota, Tennessee, Virginia. There you have it. Now, Barack Obama got on the campaign stage also and displayed his ignorance for the whole world to see. He said this, Obama, quote, do not let them take away your democracy. I don't mean to be rude, but what an ignoramus. Sam Bushman, how can they, the former president, be so completely ignorant of the facts? The United States is clearly not a democracy. It is clearly a constitutional republic. It's not even a democratic republic. You got the Democratic Republic of Congo, for instance. No. We are a constitutional republic. Never forget it, ladies and gentlemen. The U.S. national debt sadly stands around $26.6 trillion. And now it exceeds the size of the total GDP, says the New York Times. Wow. They say it's a $7 trillion increase since 2016. We're running this country off the rails, folks. And you know what they're calling me now that I call them out on the debt and the deficit? Their term for guys like me that want to hold the line on the deficit now, they're calling me a deficit hawk. Pro-death governors are attacking churches all over the country. Netflix is preparing a pervert show about little girls and twerking. BLM is their overt racism against Jews founded on the very principles they claim to stop. Wow.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, was at the Rise Up Rally last Saturday night in Orem, Utah. Lowell, welcome, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me, gentlemen. It's good to be with you.
What do you say, man? The rally was awesome. 1,500-plus people in attendance?
It really was awesome, and I love the bumper music right there, Sam. I think because there was a young lady who...
Yeah, Kurt did that on purpose, you know?
Yeah. Well, there was a young lady who actually sang that right at the rally.
Phenomenal.
We had music intermixed with speakers, intermixed with people standing up and stretching and dancing, and it was a fun, I don't know, 4 hours. I can't remember how long we were there, from 4 or 5 o'clock till dark, anyway. And it was just a half a dozen great speakers. and it was well worth the time, Sam. Wonderful time.
The event was at the Orem Utah City Center Park, and I guess there was speeches. He says a boatload of speeches, great speakers. The heavy-handed response to the coronavirus, mask mandates, the list goes on and on. Huge attendance. Robert Scott Bell hit it out of the park.
Yeah, he talked about the virus and the reason COVID tests are not accurate. He was as awesome as ever. There was a teacher from the Nebo School District, backed by eight of her teacher friends. She talked about her refusal to wear a mask to school and the potential fallout from that decision. Eric Musos talked about the Utah business revival that he spearheaded. He's a former cop for the Salt Lake Police Department. Kind of had a Richard Mack type experience and decided, you know what, policing is not for him. Cordy Lee Williams, he's a doctor, he's a chiropractor from California. He was there, introduced the 1776foreverfree.com website to us. That's his group. It's a community-based organization interested in maintaining, you know, free market and economic freedom for all Americans. And he was fun to listen to, Sam, and you know, he is a real young fellow. He's a former U.S. Marine and pretty much a professional speaker right now. He's been traveling California earlier this year and is now launching a multi-state tour, speaking tour. And he's all over YouTube. I mean, I'd never heard of him really before Saturday, but I watched a couple of his YouTube videos. These are videos of there was one of his talking in a protest-type environment to the about dozens of police and riot gear there in California. And 10 minutes after 10 minutes of talking to them through a bullhorn, they actually decided to leave.
What he did was he appealed to their oath of office, which is incredible. And you compared it to the Richard Mack scenario. On that video in California, he literally stands up as a military vet and says, "Listen, you know, I've been to foreign countries, and you're starting to act like the tyrannical abusers in foreign countries. Do you realize who you are? Do you realize who you serve and who you work for? Do you realize what's at stake here? And do you realize how you're treating people? This has got to stop." And his speech was so compelling, the cops kind of slunk away, if you will, ashamed at their behavior. And he really made a difference. And I agree on one hand with his point. At the same time, what we don't want to do, and this is really the most important point, what we don't want to do is allow the peaceful assemblies to turn into protests and then riots. And so I would say that both sides need to back down. The people that are going to, encourage the riots or turn them into protests. You know, I don't know that protests and peaceful assemblies are the same thing, but he literally kind of schooled both sides a bit. In this discussion, right?
Yeah, he did. And he talked about love and respect and the, you know, honoring the people who had preceded us in death, people who are six feet under, and honoring their memory by honoring liberty, being respectful of one another. I mean, very different verbiage than you might find at a typical protest. I've been to some protests, you know, with Sam, where the people with the bullhorns would just they would spit invectives and hate and some of the harshest terms they would talk about the other side, basically. And yet this young man, he had the wisdom and the foresight to speak with respect. You know, and with using a bullhorn to the other side, and somehow he reached their hearts and reached their heads and helped them decide, you know what, we don't need to be here. We're wasting our time, and this is not what we ought to be doing as fellow, you know, soldiers of peace, I guess, in the law enforcement industry. So, yeah, it was very persuasive. At the rally Saturday, Sam, he had an AR-15 slung over his shoulder. He talked about the sacrifice of lives for freedom, talk about the American flag that is given to the spouse of a soldier who does not return home from the war, souls that are 6 feet under, basically. And he said in the last 10 years, there have been 17,046 flag-draped coffins returned to the States.
Say that number again.
17,046.
That's a huge number, folks. Because remember, these people represent families, Lowell.
Yeah.
Families now that are going to struggle without their loved ones.
Yeah, and the flag is the only thing they get, you know, from a grateful nation. They get the words, the kind words from the president in behalf of the whole nation. That's what they get. They often don't get the body of their fallen child, and all they have is memories to continue on to live with, and this flag-draped coffin. So he really brought the notes of sobriety and of respect to this rally. I mean, it was a very respectful rally, nothing like some of the worst ones that I have attended in the past, where you hear nothing but mean, cursed, invective hurled at the other side. This is a very different feeling, almost like a revival, you know, a Baptist preacher or a revivalist minister would have, you know, very, very different, very wonderful, I would say, Sam. And to top it all off, Dale Bigtree, he was really the final and the featured presenter. And he was totally awesome. There were a number of people recorded the event, and I listened to it again yesterday, his portion of the event. He invited everybody to stand up, look around, smile, and give everybody a hug. Doesn't that feel good, he asked. Well, absolutely did, you know, because nobody was in masks there at the event. We were just all being very natural and normal again. It was such a welcome, wonderful feeling. He acknowledged that people were from a different, you know, various religious and beliefs. All walks of life were represented there in that 1,500 people. But he said that the world would have you believe that your God must have made a mistake because you, for some reason, are not protected if you don't have a mask and if everybody else around you doesn't have a mask on. He must have made a mistake. Well, that's the new religion that is, you know, the powers that be are attempting to flood the planet with. And if you accept this doctrine, my fellow citizens, you have really lost your faith. And one reason I really liked what he said here, Sam, was because this is the one thing that I've been saying since March, since the virus first came along, is that God don't make no junk. That's what I said, not what he said, but in his essence, that's what he was saying. God empowered and blessed you, your body, with an immune system that can protect you from any virus, any cold, any germ life. And if you buy into this false notion that for some reason you're going to need a vaccine or that you're going to need people around you to mask up, wear that face diaper, then for some reason you have somehow tacitly bought into this notion that God made a mistake when he created your body. And
well, that's why when I go up to people and I say, how do you like my mask? And of course, I don't have a mask on. And they kind of look at me weird, like, what are you talking about? And I say, you know, God gave it to me. And, you know, I'm wearing it proudly. And if he gave me your mask, I'd look like you. See what I mean?
I love it.
And then people go, oh, good point. Yeah. And then they proceed to put on their mask, you know. It's kind of crazy, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, the rally was incredible. Over 1,500 people in attendance. People were hugging. Rise up, Utah rally. Lowell Nelson was in attendance at an outdoor event in Orem, Utah, and he's got details. Robert Scott Bell talked about the virus and the reason COVID tests aren't accurate. Eric Maltzotz talked about the Utah business revival, and we've got more.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The Republican National Convention is this week, and President Trump spoke a little bit about what you're going to see coming this week after the constant attacks by the Democrats and presidential candidate Joe Biden.
Well, I think we're going to see something that is going to be very uplifting and positive. That's what I'd like it to be. I think you have to defend yourself by talking about some of the lies, like when he says Social Security. I don't think he knows too much about Social Security.
And though President Trump will be giving his official speech on Thursday night, he will be actively engaged each night of the convention. The Trump campaign announced the full roster of speakers, including First Lady Melania Trump, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, former Ambassador Nikki Haley, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, and former New York Governor Rudy Giuliani. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Douglas Kratt, veterinarian and president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Many states across the country have recently legalized marijuana for medical or recreational use. Veterinarians have seen a spike in poisoning in pets. Marijuana affects pets much differently than it affects people. THC, the main ingredient of marijuana, can make our pets scared or very sick. If you have marijuana or edibles in the house, please keep them out of reach. And when walking with your pets, make sure they don't pick up anything you don't expect. Concerned your pet has gotten into pot? If they appear off balance, rigid, nervous, or if they're drooling or dribbling urine, vocalizing having seizures, please get them to the veterinarian immediately. There's no antidote for marijuana, but a veterinarian can provide supportive care until it passes. For more information on keeping your pets happy, healthy, and safe, visit avma.org. That's avma.org.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is on a trip to the Middle East, the first of two senior U.S. officials to head to the region this week as the Trump administration presses an ambitious Arab-Israeli peace push. Pompeo is traveling to Israel, several Gulf Arab states, and Sudan. To accelerate progress in the region, Pompeo is expected to be followed to many of the same destinations later in the week by Trump's senior advisor and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, according to several diplomats. Texas Governor Greg Abbott declared a disaster declaration in 23 counties as approaching storms are expected to impact his state as well as Louisiana and Mississippi. Hurricane Marco and Tropical Storm Laura, both forecast to make landfall early this week, will be arriving as the area continues to respond to the coronavirus. The National Hurricane Center has upgraded Marco to a full hurricane with maximum winds of 80 miles an hour. They also warned it could bring life-threatening storm surges. This is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Yeah, the Utah Business Revival, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Maltzos talking about that at the rally last Saturday. Lowell Nelson was there breaking it down just for us. And I might mention that Utah's got the best economy in the country. Just saying, Lowell.
Hey, that's good news, Sam. I love it. Hear it. In fact, you know, I think in part due to his efforts there, Maltzos was, you know, helping. He talked about the rallies he started. We had about 300, that first one in downtown Salt Lake. And then the one in Vineyard I went to, too, had probably 1,000 people at and about 65 businesses. Then they sponsor one out in Tooele, and he's a buddy, I guess. Maltzos is a buddy with an artist, one of the country singers that's pretty popular. I don't remember his name, but you know he was able to perform down in Cedar City. The fun thing about this, Sam, was I ran into half a dozen groups, small groups that had been formed, People's Rights. .org, WeTheParents.org, 1776 Freedom Forever or Forever Free.com. Just, you know, groups that have just been popping up all over the place in the recent weeks, as particularly as we've been getting closer to school opening and parents feeling pressure to, you know, not wanting to send their children to school. That's another great speaker. Enoch Moore talked about some of the feedback he had been receiving from parents whose children had gone to school, you know, excited to get back into school, but then when constrained with masks and not being able to go out and they didn't even have water at the lunch table. They had shortened recesses. They couldn't talk to each other in class. They had to wear these damp masks all day long. I mean, these children came home from school in tears, and the parents were in tears because of this pressure they were being put under, and they didn't want to go back the next day. Now, Sam, it's just criminal what's been happening. So these groups have been popping up all over, and I think it's fantastic. People are starting to take responsibility, you know, for raising their children, for being parents, and and it's very encouraging to see this happening, Sam. Very
and Enoch Moore is with Defending Utah, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he is. Yes, and they were one of the sponsors of this event. But getting back to Dale Bigtree and what he was saying, he mentioned something that I hadn't realized before, Sam. But Big Pharma is outspending the war lobby, the military lobby back in Washington D.C. 2-1. I couldn't believe that. But they are, and they're also spending that kind of money in every organized nation on the planet. What are they buying, right? I mean, that's what you have to ask yourself when big war, when they go and lobby people in Washington, D.C., they're buying votes for more war armaments. Well, what is Big Pharma buying? We just found out, folks, this year we found out what Big Pharma had been buying because they got a certain result out of almost every country in the world, including the United States and the U.K., right, where so many people have died. Well, what they were buying was this medical scientific takeover of the levers of government. That's what Big Pharma has been buying. I didn't realize
that. You also got to ask yourself, too, when you say buying, they don't have evidence or an answer for any of this. All this money is being spent to manipulate and lead the public, lead the witness, if you will, and on what? The grand hope that Big Pharma, that man-made methods can solve this problem. In other words, it's not only spent in every sector more than the war effort, but it's spent on erroneous reality, meaning, hey, we're going to propagandize you and manipulate you and lead the witness into believing certain things that are not even true. And then secondly, we're going to spend it on this hope and a wing and a prayer that man-made toxins, if you will, can really solve the problem. We don't turn to God at all in this. And Dell laid this out big time.
Well, he sure did. That's right. No cure for the common cold, he said. You've heard that all your life. And then all of a sudden this year, we're going to develop a cure for the common cold. You know, a cure for COVID-19, right? Which is just another, basically, this common cold virus. And then we were told it was the most infectious virus known to man. But with that virus came to America in December, right? November, December. There was no uptick in deaths in December, no uptick in January, no uptick in January. And then he described what happened at the end of March, a huge uptick, especially in New York. And basically they were using a common cold. They were murdering old people with a common cold in New York. He talked about the doctor we discussed last week on this show, Aaron Olszewski,
who went in. Yeah, as soon as the inside nurse exposed it all, death rates seemed to, well, not be so many deaths, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And so then he mentioned something else that I hadn't realized before, Sam. He said that instead of going to other protocols like hydroxychloroquine, and other protocols like fresh air and sunshine, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and hydroxychloroquine, where so few people, I mean, relatively 98% of, huge, high 90% of people who get treated with these normal ways, the way we've always treated the common cold for years, for decades, people who are treated, COVID patients who are treated that way, they come out of it. They survive.
Well,
you know,
and
they
if
get
you,
better.
And if you question the logic we're saying and you say, oh, Fauci and all these other people are against what you're saying, they say it's, you know, well, Dr. Scott Atlas, who just got put on the task force by President Trump, says the same thing. He says, listen, it doesn't matter how many cases there are. What matters is who the cases are. And if it's people above 70, hey, you got to really watch and be careful. But if it's below 70, the rate of death is 0.04% nationwide. And that even includes the death camps of the nursing facilities and the elderly facilities and whatever you want to say. The other thing that you need to know about this is when people go into nursing homes, oftentimes their lives aren't very long anyway. They pretty much go there to die. It's kind of like putting somebody on hospice in many ways. Now, I'm not saying everybody that goes to a nursing home dies, but what I'm saying is this idea that everybody's going to go there because of the corona, everybody's dying now, they're ignoring the reality that people die there all the time anyway. Okay, my daughter worked in that industry for several years, and she got so used to death, she hated the smell of flowers for a long time because she's just like, you know what, it was so common, and it's sad, and I'm not mocking it or in any way making light of it. What I'm trying to do is put it in perspective for people so they understand. Let's not just pretend everybody in the nursing homes were just happy and go lucky and retired, you know, running around playing bingo and cruising around in their walkers and enjoying food and having a great time, and now all of a sudden Corona's killing everybody. Most of those people are there for serious reasons already. Let's be very clear. And we're not saying their deaths don't matter, but we're saying you've got to put it in context. Well, anyway, Dr. Scott Atlas does that. And what he says is we need to protect the most innocent among us, the most vulnerable among us, and understand those populations. But we also need to then let the cases just skyrocket and develop this herd immunity, which is not that far away, natural herd immunity. But the big pharma that Del Bigtree speaks of is what they're waiting for, because that's where all the money is and that's where the control is. And the thing about this mask wearing and not that you need to really remember is this is not even about mask wearing. This is not even about medical, and this is not about illness. This is about tyrannical control, and this is about man playing God, lol.
It sure is, Sam. And why won't the medical scientific community admit any other protocol, you know, like hydroxychloroquine? It's because the FDA can shortcut their own rules and allow, you know, these vaccine, they can skip certain vaccine trials if there is no alternative protocol available. That's why Big Pharma doesn't want to admit that hydroxychloroquine works on COVID. Because if they can claim that there is no alternative, then they can skip the trials that are normally required of vaccines. They can bring that vaccine to market sooner and capture that $750 billion that's available there for capture, almost $1 trillion awaiting Big Pharma if they can get this COVID vaccine to market, Sam. It is just insidious. And Dale Bigtree, he hit the nail squarely on the head. He said, we need to turn to God. We need to worship him, not the scientific medical community. They're the ones pushing the vaccines that are containing recombinant DNA, not made by God, but made by man, in order to bilk the world of nearly $1 trillion in net profits, you know, in profits to the Big Pharma. This is Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, and the crew bowing down to a false god of arrogance and power. Del Bigtree was awesome, Sam, and we really ought to listen to more of his program. I think the Live Wire, he calls it High Wire, I think is the name of his program. But he's out there, and Robert Kennedy Jr. is out there. They just got deplatformed because the bad boys.
Of course
don't
they
want
did.
Used.
You can't have alternative views. Then people might actually believe them. Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org.
Regrets? Oh, we're all going to have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're going to wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your 3-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, riding shotgun today. Robert Scott Bell, Eric Moutsos, Corey Lee Williams, Del Bigtree, all speaking at the rally. 1,500 plus people in attendance last Saturday. I guess takeactionforfreedom.com, another website. There's a lot of groups doing a lot of good nowadays. I just hope a lot of them don't peter out. You know, we've had some surges in patriotism for a while. We better be careful we don't get too many groups and we all get too thin where nobody has any money. But nevertheless, takeactionforfreedom.com, Robin Openshaw, visitpeoplesrights.org. Again, too many websites to kind of handle here, but they're all in the show notes. That's the good news. And we're really talking about making a difference here, Lowell.
One of the things they recommended, in fact, the very first thing that Robin recommended, I think kind of she organized this thing. She's a vivacious young woman with, on a mission, basically. But she organized this Mother's March on the Governor's Mansion. And you can visit their website, takeactionforfreedom.com. That's four spelled out, takeactionforfreedom.com. And you can sign up for a four-hour shift of marching at the governor's mansion. And I looked at it last night, and the first week, which began today, was only half filled up. Well, I looked at it just a second ago, Sam, right over the break, and Monday through Thursday is all filled up this week. Friday's still open, but Saturday is full. And so that's very encouraging. We've got so many people signing up to go march at the governor's mansion. And basically, you march from 8 in the morning until noon, and then the second shift marches from 4 in the afternoon until 8 in the evening. And it's just there just to show, to be very visible to the governor and to media, that there are a lot of people that want the governor to rescind his mask mandate and rescind this emergency order, this situation that he's put Utah under.
So it's primarily a referendum on really two things: on Salt Lake County's decision to extend the mask mandate all the way through December, for crying out loud. And then secondly, in the state of Utah, for everybody in government education and or even private education, to force everybody to wear masks, right?
Right. And there was another group there called, what was it? Oh, yeah, the parents.
We the Parents.
Called? WeTheParents.org. Yeah, and their very specific goal is to get the school districts to reverse their rules on requiring mask mandates.
Yeah, the problem is a lot of the school districts, and I'm trying to defend the innocents here a little bit, a lot of the school districts and even the private schools, they don't want to wear masks, but they feel forced. No. And I know personally that some schools that are private are saying, hey, you know what, if we don't obey, if we don't wear masks, they're going to flat out shut us down. So we've got a big problem here, and unless enough people get together and stand against this, the individual schools that are private and other people don't stand a chance is the problem.
Yeah, that's a good point.
One thing that I think is important to mention here, too, I heard the governor say basically that if he didn't extend the emergency thing along with everybody else, that might make it so that they didn't get as many federal dollars. Is that part of the picture?
Yes, that's absolutely part of the picture. In fact, Senator Jake Andrig mentioned that in the news story in the Strib and the Deseret News as one of the reasons the governor chose to declare a state of emergency. The good news here, guys, is that the legislators refused to extend the governor's declaration of a state of emergency. They met last week, as you know, and on Wednesday they were thinking about extending the state of emergency but chose not to do so.
In other words, Utah's lawmakers won't extend COVID-19 state of emergency. So now you got the governor and the lawmakers at odds. Again, this is the time when the people need to stand up en masse. And I appreciate 1,500, and that's wonderful. Don't get me wrong, but we need 15,000. We need 150,000. We need to really have people start to get involved here in meaningful ways to change this narrative and tell the truth.
That's right. You know, there was a 10-point flyer being passed around the rally. And one of the points on point seven I thought was really important, it was to talk to your children about liberty. Robin Openshaw said, you know, I sat down and I had to talk about the birds and the bees with my children, each one as they grew up. But then I also had one of my, in later life, my 24-year-old daughter, she said, talked to me and said, well, you only talked to me about sex one time, and then you never talked to me about it again. And that that was just not sufficient. And I like the analogy. We need to talk to our children continually about freedom, how it must be defended, and what it looks like to defend freedom. So you must have numerous conversations with your children. So I really like that point on the handout. And then the last point on the handout was to pray every day that our governor and our lieutenant governor and people in power will begin to represent us, the people, and take our freedom more seriously rather than shutting us down, locking us down, requiring us to wear masks and so forth.
Yeah, because when the governor and the lieutenant governor find out the people are pushing back, they kind of disconnect from the public, just like the county commissioners did that we've been reporting on as well. They literally shut down a hotline too, right?
That's right. Herbert's hotline and Cox's hotline have been shut down. You cannot leave a voice message for them anymore, but you can write their assistance. And so point number nine on this handout was the email address for Tyler Kane, who is Spencer Cox's assistant. That's tkane@utah.gov. And then also Tiffany Wall, whose email address is twall@utah.gov. She is the governor's assistant. So let's continue to flood their offices with our demand that they rescind the order for this state of emergency. We don't need it here in Utah. I mean, there are so many people walking around without masks, and the number of deaths is so minuscule. We just don't need that here anymore. Let's get back to normal.
But let's do what Dr. Scott Atlas says. Let's do our very best to protect the most vulnerable among us, the elderly.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean lock them down against their will. It does mean, though, that we take extra precautions. And you know what? It's okay to work on some social distancing, and it's okay to voluntarily do things and all that kind of stuff. If you own your own private organization and you want to do something, by all means. But the mandates have got to stop. And the only answer being Big Pharma has got to stop. Kurt?
Wouldn't you say, though, that the most vulnerable among us would be the babies that are killed, Sam?
Yeah, but that's a different topic, but you're right.
Yeah, good point.
You don't want to bring that up.
Well, you're right. It's just a different topic.
We're talking about deaths, you know, right?
Because the babies aren't vulnerable to the coronavirus hardly at all, Kurt.
Well, I know, but they're sure vulnerable.
I know, I'm just saying you're switching topics.
Killers. Well, I know, but, you know, it seemed like every time we get one of these, people who say they're so concerned about people dying, these mask lovers, then you got to ask them, well, what are you doing about the little babies?
It's amazing you would say that, Kurt, because that's exactly what happens at a conversation at work with some coworkers. We've been talking about mask mandates and people dying from the response to the coronavirus in greater numbers than the virus itself. And then we'll also mention the abortions and the number of babies who are killed, and that's exactly their response. They say, don't change the subject. You shouldn't be changing the subject on us, man. We're here talking about coronavirus.
That's right. See, Kurt?
Yeah.
Now, Kurt's exactly spot on,
folks. I understand.
And it is the salient point. Kurt is right about this. Why aren't we talking about a couple of other subjects? If we're going to talk about life and death, isn't life and death the subject? Or is it just the corona with Big Pharma the subject? See, I think Kurt's exactly right. And I bring up what I say because that's what they're going to do to shut him down. They're just going to say, change the subject. No, the subject is life. And if we're going to talk about life, we need to talk about pro-life. Pro-life starts with babies because those are the most vulnerable and the beginning of the process. Okay, then let's talk about elderly. Let's talk about all the vulnerable. Let's talk about how blacks are more vulnerable than whites. Let's talk about all of it. And don't say we're afraid to discuss it. Kurt's absolutely right. The subject is life versus death. The subject is freedom versus tyranny. The subject is, so Kurt is absolutely spot on. But you know what they're going to say? They're just going to say, don't change the subject. That's already codified. You know what? We're already pro-death in America. We're not discussing that. Well, yes, we are. Absolutely, we are. Well, that brings up John Rappaport, LouRockwell.com, for our final article to discuss. Kurt, listen up, because here's the headline that John brings up that I think is as salient to your point as it gets. Lol?
It's the five reasons never to trust the CDC again. Why you shouldn't believe anything the government says about vaccines and viruses. I guess I'm laughing because it's hilarious. If you look at the number of times they have repeatedly lied to you and me.
And hardcore documented cases, too. Let's be clear.
Yes. And then how in the world can anybody believe them today? It just mind boggles the mind. You know, for example, we talked about one scandal last week about the swine flu pandemic of 2009, how the CDC hyped that up and all the while had stopped counting cases because all of the lab results had come back saying negative. There were no swine flu cases, and so the CDC stopped counting the cases and yet declared in November of 2009 that 22 million Americans had come down with the H1N1 swine flu as of October that year. Total fabrication. They lie to us over and over. There's another example in 2013 of Dr. Peter Doshi writing in the British Medical Journal revealed that every year hundreds of thousands of respiratory samples are taken from flu patients in the U.S. and tested in labs, and only a small percentage of those samples show the presence of a flu virus, which really means, folks, that people who are diagnosed with flu have no flu virus in their bodies, which means that the flu vaccine will be of zero help in preventing the flu in your body because you don't have the flu. So a flu vaccine's not going to help.
Yeah, that doesn't help sales, though, lol. Don't you want to help out the economy, buddy?
Yeah, scandal number two was that the seasonal flu vaccine may be only 10% effective in any given year. Why?
Ouch.
Because the vaccine is made using chicken eggs, and researchers have discovered that the flu virus, which is placed in the vaccine, it mutates in chicken eggs. Therefore, by the time a person takes the flu shot, he's not being protected against this year's seasonal flu, but he's being protected against a mutated virus that isn't causing the flu this year.
And
Sam,
since it's a madman manipulated mutated virus, it doesn't match what's happening in the real world in different vectors at all. Other than that, it's not so bad.
Lie after lie after lie, Sam. We cannot believe the CDC anymore. We got
to
stop.
If they lied to you then, ladies and gentlemen, there's no reason to think they're telling you the truth now. Kurt Crosby's right as rain. The subject is life versus death, freedom versus tyranny. I pray you're on the right side and that you stand up for the sacred cause. Lowell, thank you so much, my brother.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
There he goes, doing an incredible job as always. I wish we had 2 hours for his topics. They're just so good. CampaignForLiberty.org, Lowell Nelson, every Monday with us on your radio. Incredible preparation, incredible information. God save the Republic.